So go ahead. The invitation is to just put your body in as comfortable a position as you can. We're taking these moments to turn our focus away from our history, to let go of any thoughts of our future, to just feel the elemental presence of each breath, breathing in and out, feeling the rhythm of those breaths as if we were floating in a warm, beautiful ocean, feeling the rhythm of the waves, breath by breath is like billow by billow, lifting us, allowing us to sink back. I'm thinking of all the smiles I saw and the smile that emerged for me during the social moments here, and picturing those smiles like sunlight dappling on the surface of the waves. We're floating. I love you too. We're resting. We're feeling that deep relaxation. And that sunlight that reflects all around us is the smiles, the hugs, the laughter, the warmth, the love really of spirit that is reflected in the faces and embraces of our family and community. The same way that sunlight is reflected on the waves all about us. So the invitation is, I want you, if you like, to just feel yourself buoyant, safe, and utterly relaxed, floating on that infinite sea, with love streaming down and love reflecting all around you. We're so warm and content and connected. There is nothing whatsoever to worry about. We'll take some time just with the quiet music to breath by breath feel the billows of those waves rising and falling, to feel our connection with spirit and with all the other waves on the ocean. We'll just take some time with the music, and then your musician friends will provide you a song at the end of that time. Thank you all. Wow, I'm suddenly powerful. I want to tell you, it's so nice to be back with you guys and have a chance to do what we do. Thank you for that. I saw Rose McCall here today, and I've got to tell you, I've been thinking about this, it's so funny. Rose invited me to see if, to audition for her granddaughter and fiance to see if they might want me to conduct their wedding. And through a brief process, they said yes, and I got to conduct their wedding, November, December, 3 months ago exactly today. I think it was October 8th. And so a coworker who's about 26 said to me, well, I'm thinking about getting married, but I'm also heading to Florida to go to a one-year nursing degree program, and my boyfriend is going to be deployed, but we're thinking about maybe getting married. Could you do it? And I was like, yeah. Do you remember being in your mid-20s when you feel like you could take a big journey that way and a big journey that way at the same time? So the other day I got a text from her and it said, are you able to marry people on your lunch break or after work or or this Monday? And I said, well, okay. And we've had a little dialogue, but I don't know anything about their definite plans yet. We'll see. Well, it's interesting because that's January. Janus is the Roman deity with two faces going in two different directions, right? So welcome to January. Janus is the god of beginnings and transitions, and also the god presiding over doorways, which is an interesting niche for a god. I find myself imagining the day all the gods got their assignments and Jupiter's saying, Mars, okay, step up here. We're going to make you the god of war, attaboy. Okay, Venus, come here. We're going to make you the goddess of love, honey, and you're going to be Mars's consort. Listen, Mars, get her back home before midnight, okay? And let's see, Janus, we're going to make you the god of doorways, okay. And you have two faces. You can be your own consort. Sorry, just a crazy idea. But in January, we do step across a threshold. Now, you may find it interesting, though probably useless to know, that January is oatmeal month, hot tea month, national soup month, California dried plum digestive health month. Well, that's a mouthful. And then what do you do with the pits? National Codependency Awareness Month, Stalking Awareness Month, which is some extreme toxic codependency clearly gone crazy. Also National Mentoring Month and National Healthy Weight Awareness Month. Yay, whatever we celebrate about it, and in Tennessee that would include Be Kind to Food Servers Month, we know the new year always represents a new potential. We step through this portal into the unknown, truly. Now, those of us here who've been around the block once or twice, we're not 26 perhaps, we could easily feel near the beginning of a year, well, I've been through all this before. I've tried promises and resolutions, and that didn't result in a revolution in my life. I didn't transform my waistline or restore my hairline. I didn't become more compassionate. I didn't increase my incomes, build my abs, or start an exciting new career. The exercise equipment I bought, I later sold at a yard sale, losing about $200 in the process.
I didn't find romance or learn Chinese or become a gourmet chef. I'm fixing the same old meals, loading them into the same tired old body, and feeling the same dissatisfaction and regret on March 1st that maybe I felt on December 31st. So what's the point? That's my message. Thank you. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? I made only one, really, and that's what I came here to talk about. But first, let us also remember that it was only two short weeks ago when we were celebrating the birth of a child who in his 30s would transform the world. I refer, of course, to Isaac Newton, born December 25th, 1642. Now, we're all familiar, perhaps, with Isaac Newton, but what do we know about John Newton? He was not the ancestor of Olivia Newton-John. Let me tell you about Mr. John Newton. An Englishman, he was born in 1725. His mother died before he turned 7. At 11, he went to sea with his father, who was a shipmaster. And after his father retired, Newton found work on a merchant vessel in the Mediterranean. At 18, he was pressed into service against his will by the British Royal Navy. They used to do that. They would board ships and say, "You're in the Navy now." He tried to desert, and he was punished with 8 dozen lashes. I really can't count that high using fingers and toes, but that's a lot of lashes. Now, a new chapter opened up in Newton's life because he was transferred to a slave ship bound for West Africa. This man at this point was a real troublemaker. He was a hellion aboard any vessel. He was a cynic. In a culture where sailors were, of course, known for their swearing, Newton received discipline for not only using the worst words the captain had ever heard, but for creating new ones that exceeded the limits of verbal debauchery. In all, he was not a popular sailor on this vessel, and in Sierra Leone, the captain gave Newton to a slave dealer who made him a household slave to his wife. Finally, in 1748, in his very early 20s, Newton was rescued by a ship's captain his father had enlisted to find him, and he began to sail back to the British Isles. Do you suppose that all then went well and he lived happily ever after? No. That ship foundered in a violent storm off the coast of Ireland. Newton in the hold is said to have prayed to God for mercy and then saw some of the cargo shift and cover a hole in the side of the ship, allowing the ship to float to some sort of harbor and make landfall. He later recorded the date, March 10th, 1748, as the beginning of his conversion to a religious life. This is a conversion that proceeded in stages because he still continued as a sailor in the slave trade. Hard to I guess people can compartmentalize, right? I'm a Christian and I help deal human beings. After 6 more years in this service, Newton finally retired from sea because he suffered a stroke. Maybe that's what compartmentalization can do for you. He was 29 years old. Why are we even talking about this old English cuss? Because there is a connection to the beginning of January. Newton, having returned to land, had married his childhood sweetheart, and now, as a fervent Christian, he began studying on the side to enter the ministry. He was working as a tax collector, but he taught himself Greek, Hebrew, and Syriac in his spare time in order to read the scriptures in the old tongues, as so many of us have done at the end of each workday. already becoming well known as a lay minister, there was a lot of prejudice against him because he hadn't gone to the right schools and he didn't have the right background. It took nearly another decade before he was accepted into the Anglican priesthood and assigned a parish. It's said that his preaching style was different from all those guys who had gone to the right schools. His message had this earthy flavor, not with the creative debauchery, but in other ways. Unlike almost any other minister of his time, he spoke about his own struggles. He told stories that others could relate to, and his congregation grew and grew. He formed a partnership with a troubled but gifted writer named William Cowper. Together, the two men resolved to write a new poem every week for a prayer meeting that Newton had started. And it was on January 1st, 1773, and here's our connection to the beginning of January. It was on that day that Newton's poem, and perhaps Cowper's, was first unveiled to the world. The poem was called 1 Chronicles 17:16 through 17, Faith's Review and Expectation. Remember it? Perhaps you would know it by the title that has become more common, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Newton preached telling his own story, and this also was his story, this poem. This was his biography. He felt he'd been rescued at sea and in life by an amazing grace. He felt he'd been lost, he'd been blind, unseeing, unfeeling, uncaring, and now he could see clearly the error of his ways. Newton went on in the next decade to write about the slave trade that he had been involved in. He became a minister to William Wilberforce, who was a member of Parliament with a career focused on abolition. And when Captain Newton, ultimately he had been a ship's captain, when he came to the end of his life's voyage in December 1807, it was the same year the United Kingdom Parliament had passed the Abolition of the Slave Trade Act. Though it didn't eliminate slavery itself, it was a legislative beginning, and Newton's writing and ministering were seminal in the inspiration and support for this starting point. Of course, slavery comes in many forms. When I was in high school, I had a friend, Jim Luce, who was one of these Jesus freaks, on fire, Pentecostal Christian guys. He was only 16 or 17, but he was essentially already a minister. As he said to me, "Doug, I'm a shepherd to a body of believers." He once talked to me about a member of his flock who he felt was saddled with some sort of false belief. And he said, "I told her, 'Sister, you're in bondage.'" I feel that I know what he meant. On Christmas Sunday, Sal and I listened to a bit of Dickens' A Christmas Carol on the radio as we engaged in an epic Scrabble battle. She won because she cheats. Don't tell anybody. She does this thing where when I have a play that I'm all ready to make, she plays where I'm thinking I was going to play, and that's illegal. Clearly, that's illegal. So we heard the part in A Christmas Carol where Scrooge meets Marley's ghost, and he sees that he's dragging chains with him. "You are fettered," says Scrooge. "Tell me why."
"I wear the chains I forged in life," replies Marley's ghost. "I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it."
We fetter ourselves with different chains, don't we? Our attitudes, our actions, our prejudices, our perspectives. When I said earlier I made only one New Year's resolution, here's what I meant. New Year's resolutions don't work. When we take them on as ways to improve ourselves, enrich ourselves, to make ourselves do something, they become not vehicles for liberation, but fetters and chains we ourselves forge. We become, as my friend Jim had said so long ago, we are in bondage. Each time I make a resolution, it's likely I make it in order to gain something that I have decided is important. A new car, or a job, or a body. To clean my closet, not to swear anymore, to quit getting angry, no more late night snacks. I may have noble intentions, but ultimately there's this component of me, me, me. What if my New Year's resolution was instead directed by spirit? What if instead of any particular goals, I simply said to God, to Christ, to spirit, "This time, not my will, but thy will be done." What if my New Year's resolution was nothing I could later beat myself up for? Or congratulate myself for succeeding at, because I'm opening myself to the guidance of spirit day by day and moment by moment in 2017. When I try to unfetter myself, either I don't have the key, or I end up filled with pride at how well I'm doing, which is a movement in my psyche that is girding more links on the chain behind me as I remove those in front of me. One of the great speakers in Alcoholics Anonymous, a guy named Earl, talks about the point in the step work where the addict in recovery asks the higher power to remove all their defects of character. And Earl puts it like this: "I ask God to do it. I can't do it myself. Because, you know, if it were up to me, I'd make deals around my character defects. I'd say, you can have this one. I'm enjoying this other one for now. Get back to me in a week. Maybe we'll swap." Instead of making deals with spirit, what if I could just open myself up this year to what spirit calls me to do, to be? What is my calling this year, this day, this very moment? And whatever I think it is, what if I set that aside and listen ever more deeply? Red Green once said on his TV show that he felt he had found his calling, and it seemed to be some combination of watching TV, eating junk food, and complaining. So that one's taken, Craig. But what if I can, over and over, just open myself up to the voice of spirit, to what I'm called to do? For my birthday, 1 month ago today, I received the most marvelous card from Sally. It showed a doorway, our key word today, a doorway opening, and outside the door, there's a brilliant starry sky. The card said to me what I wish to say to you across this January threshold, past the place that is familiar, outside your old dwelling, there is a star-filled universe of what is possible. There is infinite space filled with wonder. There is not only amazing grace, but amazing space. Amazing space, how sweet the sound, the music of the spheres in heaven's wide, your stars abound, your love overcomes my fears. We may think we know what will unfold this year. We may have fears. I imagine most of us do. We're human. But what if we open ourselves up to the amazing grace and amazing space of the unknown possibilities that Spirit will manifest in us and through us this year? Finally, it occurs to me as I engage more and more with this beautiful community that I see year by year a strong and vital and robust group of like-minded seekers after truth. And the question I have then for each of us is also to consider what we will open ourselves up to in the coming year in terms both of our own calling and also of the calling for this community, this family of faith. What can we contribute to those we love and to those who suffer in the local community and beyond? What is our mission as a church community? What new missions will we be called to? What can we open ourselves up to? A patient in treatment recently said, "I already have what many are praying for." Huh. I already have what many are praying for. To say something like that from the reboot that is hospitalization for chemical dependency treatment, wow. But she was right. And perhaps more critically, I believe her words are right on target for me and for us. We are blessed. And as Albert Schweitzer once wrote, we must not treat our lives as being for ourselves alone. Whoever is spared personal pain must feel themselves called to help in diminishing the pain of others. I feel that calling. I think in the coming year there will be no shortage, sadly, of pain. That's nothing new. But there will always be a shortage of those who are willing to heed the call of Spirit to be beacons of hope and islands of light on a dark sea. Let this be a year when we loose our chains, when we rise to the voice of the Spirit. The amazing grace and the amazing space is calling us. It is up to us to listen. May we listen well. Thank you. Happy New Year to you.